Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Well, hey, everybody. You might not have heard anything just there because a little snafu with that intro. We'll get that ironed out. It's episode 780 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today is April 14th, 2024. I am one of your hosts today, Greg DeLacy, gamer tag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. Yes, I said it. On the show today, we have Miss Kim Woods.
Kim. Howdy, howdy. I am here.
Excellent to have you here. Yeah. And, it's just us two.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah. Not sure why the rest of the podcasting world didn't want to join us.
Slackers.
As in Robin and Mark. Well, okay, we actually know why. But, you know, Mark is suffering from agonizing tooth discomfort. And Robin is, gallivanting and, being irresponsible as, a semi-retired adult should be. That's
uh-oh.
At least kind of.
We have an echo.
Uh-oh. I do see that, yes. And we no longer should have an echo. Yeah, just like that. It's fixed.
Gremlins, yeah. I tell you.
Well, yeah, gremlins. This is what happens when I haven't been on for God knows how long. But, alas. We're going to podcast today. We're going to talk about video games. We're going to talk about life. Probably more life than video games, if I'm being perfectly honest. And that's just because of the circumstances.
Been a doozy.
It's been a bit crazy. It has been. So yes, definitely let me know if there's no echo now. You shouldn't hear an echo. That's the hopes.
Right.
All right. We do this every Sunday. Basically 12 p.m. on the West Coast. I don't care about any other time zone, but I will read a couple of the time zones just because. We are at 8 p.m. in the UK. 3 p.m. in the West Coast, or sorry, East Coast. God, I can't even talk. This, again, what happens when you take too much time off? And 2 p.m. out in the Central Time Zone, which is also known as Kansas City Time Zone, so I really hate it. Therefore, I pay no attention.
Hate
so, yeah.
Hate.
We do this on Twitch. We do it on YouTube, Kim.
Yeah.
Every Sunday. We even do an audio version of the podcast. It will go up at some point whenever I feel like posting it, usually about 24 hours later. So you can, you can just sit back and get down with the oldies while you're on the treadmill. And I say oldies because, yeah, we're a little bit older. We can buy our own beer. We're not afraid to say that.
Right.
We don't have any birthdays to announce because, gosh darn it, I didn't look for any birthdays. Therefore, no birthdays. Yeah. If you were born today, yesterday, day before,
happy birthday.
Somewhere around there, or coming up, doesn't count.
Okay.
You get a pass. Have a free year of birth. Or non-birth. I don't know. Anyway.
CP Matthew says we seem to be missing the overseas and the overseas connection. Yeah. Yeah, we kind of are.
Yeah, this is the American Connection podcast. Good call out, Mr. Matthew. Absolutely. the best of the best is on the podcast today. So nobody's sidetracked with his racing simulator shenanigans. Nobody's sidetracked talking about how he hates working on cars constantly,
right,
shouting at young people because he's old. None of that. strictly professionalism coming from this podcast from here forward, unless something goes wrong, in which case, still blame it on the UK guys.
There you go.
All right. We've got through all the important things. Should just call it a show.
All right.
So now here's
good.
The question. I don't know if this is going to come through or not. So now I'm really curious. They may not hear the story time trailer. We'll find out.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
So yeah, they're not hearing nothing, and that's no fault of theirs. It's no fault of ours, technically speaking. I blame this now on Skype, the UK, Iran, Hamas. Who else could I blame? Democrats, Republicans, take your pick there.
Right.
Yeah. Oh well. Well, this will go in post.
There you go.
I could sing Everybody Loves Storytime, but I'm not gonna. But we're going to talk about story time now. So, Kim,
nope.
We'll start with you because yours is probably the most depressing.
Oh, I know, right? Well, we'll just get the depressing bit out of the road. Remember last show, I talked about our horse Bud, and he was sick. Well, yeah. Thursday, my dad had went out to do chores Thursday morning about 7:30, and, well, Bud is no more. So whatever he was sick with, which we still don't know, we were treating him for everything. But apparently our efforts were for nothing. So unfortunately, we've lost Bud. So this year, my horse count has went from 4 to 2. In the span of not very much. See, we lost Smokey in January, and then we lost Bud in April. So, yeah, I'm batting 1,000.
You're kind of taking after Robin a little bit now. It's a little scary for the horses.
I know, and it's horses, not cats. So, you know, I don't, or chickens. You know, I don't know. The weird
Robin kills all animals equally, for the record.
Right.
Chickens.
And the weird thing
calves.
About all this is it's 7 o'clock. We were eating breakfast and I looked out the window because from our kitchen dining room windows, you can see the horse lot, the pasture, the whole 9 yards. And I saw Bud's got his little lot where we feed him and the barn is and all that. And then he's got a lot next to it with grass. And so he can walk around and get a little exercise. Well, in the grass lot, I saw Bud walking around. Hand to God. I saw him. But Dad, when he went out to check him, and of course found him deceased, claims that surely he must have passed away sometime in the middle of the night, because according to Dad, he was cold and stiff. Well, what the fuck did I see at 7 o'clock sitting there eating breakfast? Because I know I saw that horse out there walking around the grass lot, but Dad seems to think I'm crazy. So
now, is it possible you saw one of the other horses and just kind of in your head transitioned it to him?
No, because Bud is a light-colored buckskin, and our other two horses are brown or bay-colored. So there's a definite color change there, and we only have the one buckskin. So, and I'm not nuts. I'm not prone to seeing things. It's not like I go and tell people there's Bigfoot living in our timber or anything like that. So either Dad is wrong about when he died, or I saw a ghost of my horse.
I mean, I lean towards Dad potentially being wrong.
Well, that is my thing, too. But the only thing is, if he's wrong, at like 10 after 7, I saw him very much alive. Maybe not great, but he was alive. And then at 7:30, he was gone. So in that 20-minute time span, my horse just was gone. So it's very strange. Like I said, I can't convince my dad that, you know, I actually saw the horse up and moving around before he went out and did chores. He thinks I'm off my fucking rocker, but... I know what
could
I
it,
saw.
Could it be that it was like 6 a.m. and you thought it was 7
a.m.? Oh, no. No. Oh. No, nothing like that. I wasn't drunk or anything like that. But, yeah, like I said.
No excessive drug use.
No, nothing like that. Yeah. Like I said, it's real strange. And a friend of mine was telling me, well, maybe you did see him and he was giving you that one last, you know, goodbye before he kicked off. I don't know. And I can't talk about it too much because I'm going to start bawling here again. Because even though I hated that horse when we got him, I kind of got to attach to him. So you know.
I think that's how we are with a lot of people in life. The people we start off hating, sometimes we just grow to they just grow on you, right?
Right, right.
Animals the same way.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry to hear the horse is no longer with you, and that's rough.
Right. Well, and then that's the thing, because, you know, you're sitting there thinking, well, you just lost one in January, but he was approaching 30, which is pretty damned old for a horse. So, I mean, for the last 2 years, we were kind of expecting him to go. That was not a surprise. This was a shock. So I was not expecting Dad to come back in and go, well, he's not there. And it's like, wait, what? I just, you know, fed him last night and picked the cockle burrs out of his mane and everything else. And you're telling me he's gone? So, yeah, it was a little rough. It still is kind of a little rough. And on top of that, it's Tony's horse. So,
that's,
you know, there was that. So, of course, that night, Tony was out here after school, and he helped Dad take him off and bury him and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's rough, I'll tell you.
I'm sorry. That,
damn
that
old nag, anyway.
All right, well, let's transition to something that absolutely moves the needle in a very different direction. Talk to me about vacuums and mops.
Okay. Well, some happier news. I bought, cause I got, you know, we've got this big room that's got open, you know, we're open floor plan. So we've got the living room, the dining room, and the kitchen. It's all one big gigantic room, right? And I have to mop that thing at least twice a week. And I mean, I'm not going to complain, but you know, I have cerebral palsy, so mopping that big of a room twice a week, it can get to be a kind of pain in the ass. So I've watched these vacuum mop things. We've all seen them on TV where supposedly they'll vacuum and mop at the same time. Yada, yada, yada. So I bought one just to see because I thought, well, I was a little leery because I didn't want it to screw up my laminate floors because I could already hear Dad if something happened and it leaked and all of a sudden we had to replace floors. But so far, so good. I got a Tyneco. It's an S5 Extreme, whatever.
I'm sorry. You can Google it. Say it. Tyneco?
Tyneco. T-I-N-E-C-O. I guess they're pretty well known, I guess. Although
S5, you said?
S5. Yeah, right. It's an S5 Extreme.
Let's see if
Extreme.
I can pull up an image of it to help out with the...
And this thing, it will mop. And because, of course, with the cats and the kids and everything else, no matter how much I vacuum or sweep or whatever, there's always stuff left behind. And this little sucker will suck it up. So it doesn't
really...
Everybody
loves a good sucker. Just saying.
And it's self-propelled, which is nice. So, you know, it takes a little bit of the back-breaking work out of it. So if you're...
This intrigues me, though. That I'm not lying. Like, we're starting to realize, you know, the hardwood floors throughout the house, while great.
Right.
They show all the dirt, right?
They do. And, they really do.
And so it makes us actually a little fearful of just how dirty our old floors probably were because we had carpet throughout the house,
right?
Except for the kitchen. So we're I think going to have to move into something like this that does the vacuuming and mopping,
right?
All together.
Well, I like it. I mean, yeah, it is slightly expensive, and I'll be fair, the water tanks, either the dirty and the clean, they're kind of small. So like for me to do my one big room, I'll have to probably refill it a couple of times.
Okay.
Not terrible. And it's light. You pick it up, you take it to the bathroom, you take the tanks out, you empty the dirty one and fill the clean one, and you're good to go. It's not real labor intensive or anything like that. So that's nice.
So you're saying one tank is good for one room?
Yeah. Generally. If it's a small...
Like the size of your bedroom?
I can do the size of my bedroom, and one tank would take care of it.
Okay.
Unless it's really freaking dirty, and then, of course, it's probably going to take a couple times.
And are you just using water, or does it have to have a cleaning solution in it?
Well, you can just use water, but they do, like the one I bought, it gave me extra brush rolls, extra filters, and like two bottles of the stuff. And the bottle of the cleaning solution's like, you can get a big jug of it for like $25. It's not real expensive.
All right.
And you only need to use like a little cap full of it. Unless, like I said, it's really bad, then you use two. So, but this is how bad it is. I've used this thing maybe the last couple of weeks off and on, and I've already went through almost one bottle of solution already. That's kind of how bad my floor was.
Yeah.
And I thought I was doing a good job. But the funny thing is, because, you know, we've got furniture on the floor and everything else, when you go around it and then you move the furniture, you can see how bad the floor was where the furniture was, as opposed to where you mopped it. So I'm like, you know what? I thought I was pretty good at cleaning my house. I'm not
maybe
so
it's
sure.
Just better to have dirty floors. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, maybe I should. But yeah, it's a Tyneco. There's a whole bunch of them. There's cheaper ones. I got a little more expensive one because it's got the edge-to-edge cleaning, so you can get up like close to your baseboards and stuff and clean that. And but Kohl's had it on sale for like $300. I got it for $367, but it usually goes for like $550, so I thought I got a pretty good deal. So, and I got a load of extras with it. So if, you know, hopefully it'll last more than a couple of years, because you know how this stuff goes. Sometimes it'll last forever, and sometimes you'll have it 6 months and then it quits.
Also
true. We'll see how it goes. But yes, it's a vacuum mop. I don't know. Bissell makes one. I think Shark makes one. I went with these because the reviews seem better. So, and the others, they said they leaked and stuff like that, and I didn't want to take the chance. And this one is nice because you put it on the charging base, and there's a self-clean option where it will clean the brush roll by itself. So that's kind of nice. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, a Tyneco vacuum mop. Go for it if you're so inclined.
But you know what? I'm there for it. I think I'm going to be looking into this a little more seriously. So,
well, I recommend it because, like I said, I've got that's all we have is either the laminate wood floors or we have the vinyl plank.
Right.
So
it works on both.
It works on both. It's awesome. It'll even suck up. Like, the other day my washing machine leaked all over the floor. It's got a suction mode where all it does is just it'll suck the water up off the floor.
Oh, it's gonna be like a little shop vac.
Yeah.
All right.
So that was handy. So
There you go. For those on the podcast, you're thinking you were gonna be hearing about video games. No, we're talking mops and vacuums
and dead horses. So there you go.
And dead horses. wasn't going to go there, Kim.
But I got to do something. Otherwise, it's depressing. So this is how I
Okay,
deal
you know
things.
What? I'm going to go there, Kim, and you're going to hate me for this. But, okay, what do you do with the horse?
All right. And this may start up a firestorm. I don't know. We have,
I mean, because on one hand, I'm thinking burgers for, like, a week.
No.
Okay, no.
We're not China. Anyway, we have this big hole, a ditch, basically what it is, and you haul them down there and put them in it, and you throw a little dirt, kind of like you would, you know, it's kind of like a pre-dug, no, for lack of a better word, it's like a pre-dug grave, basically. You take them down there, and you throw a little sawdust and a little dirt over it, and, well, there you go. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, buried in the backyard?
Not the backyard, it's down in
so
the pasture, but yeah.
I know.
Kind of.
Your backyard is a gigantic pasture, so you.
This is true. But, you know, yeah. I've got 40 acres of backyard, I guess you'd say. So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Who else have you buried back there?
No comment. Anyway.
I'm sure there's at least one or two raccoons.
At least. Not buried in my backyard. I got a thing the other day, which also made me happy. And it's Godzilla.
That is definitely Godzilla.
Yep. It's a pop. It's not like an actual Godzilla thing because those things are expensive. And I know how some people are about pops, but I thought he was cute. So I got Godzilla because I like Godzilla. So,
Godzilla
yeah.
pop. All right. How much did Godzilla pop set you back? I'm curious.
About $30 with shipping because where I got it from, they had to charge me some shipping for it. So it's about $30. I didn't think it was too bad. So
I'm not going to lie. I feel that kind of expensive for a pop.
Right. But he's a big, I mean, comparatively to what the pops are, he's a big pop. So, I mean, he was bigger than I thought he was going to be. And I know how people are about those pops. I think it's kind of fallen off over the years, but
yeah.
I don't know. I still kind of like them. But here's my question. Do you keep it in the box or do you take them out of the box? Because, see, obviously I took Godzilla out of the box because the box was screwed up. So.
Okay. So this is going to be super controversial. But, I mean, the collector would tell you, no, you got to keep it in the box. But look, you're getting these things to enjoy them. So I put them up on display, you know. Everything all my collectibles out of the boxes. No, I don't want it just to be in a box. I don't care.
Good answer. I like that answer because I've got some that are still in the box, but I've debated several times. You know what? I kind of want to take them out of the box because who's to say mine is going to be worth anything in 20 years?
You have hundreds of video games that say the same thing, Kim.
Exactly. So. So all anyway, right. That's
Godzilla
that's
out of the box.
Yeah, Godzilla's out of the box.
All right. But by the way, I tried to entice my wife to watch the new Godzilla. No.
Really?
Didn't happen. I'll be going. That'll be a solo trip to the movie theater for me, aww. I'm sure. All right. Anything else, Kim?
Nope. That's it for me.
All right. My week has been interesting.
Oh, boy.
it's technically we got about 2 weeks worth of content here, so bear with people. By the way, real fast, shout out to Mr. CP Matthew in the house as well as Boomer.
Yep.
Hanging out, watching live.
And James Bevan on YouTube. Yep. So.
Yes. So we definitely appreciate everybody being in the house live. Okay. Avocado revenge.
Oh boy.
So, okay. I made avocado pie.
Right.
Way back and loved it. Great. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm going to make avocado pie again. And I'll made it for when my mom and my mother-in-law came and visited the house at the same time,
mm-hmm.
along with my aunt. That was all last weekend. It was crazy. Old ladies everywhere.
So much estrogen.
Oh my God. Grandma estrogen up the wazoo. Survived all of that. And Colin didn't eat any avocado pie while we were, barbecuing and stuff. He went to bed early. And so I gave him a small little piece of avocado pie to take with him to school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we get a phone call from school. He is throwing up all over the place.
Oof.
Now that was the Monday after my mom and my aunt left. My wife was taking her mom back to her house. Mm-hmm. So she was gone. So I had to go get Colin by myself, get him home, all the while he is having dry heaves and mm-hmm. throwing up a little bit here and there. So I pulled over three different times. He's throwing up into a bucket. Thank God I had the bucket. I got a bucket from school. So no throw up in the car, thankfully, all in the bucket. Probably the funniest moment was I realized I also had to stop and get gas. So I went to the Costco, go get gas in the Costco. I'm sitting there and as we're pulling out, he starts getting sick again. So I just go to a parking space. If you know Costco gas stations, they usually have some parking spaces right near the exit of where the Costco gas station is, but it's like the least desirable place to park because usually it's a little tough to back out and it's also the furthest away from the store. So nobody parks there. Usually it's all wide open. I park there. He's throwing up in the bucket and I look to my left and there's like six spaces. And what happens? This lady pulls up right next to me. Mm-hmm. Eating her like parfait yogurt thing that she bought from Costco. And I just look and I open up the door and I'm dumping barf out. Well, that's what you get for parking next to somebody. Anyway, so, turns out Colin is allergic to avocados. I didn't know it was a thing. It's a thing.
Right?
So yeah. So no avocados for him. Moving forward, because this was actually technically the second time he got sick from eating avocados. And I didn't correlate the two from the first time. I just figured he had something that didn't agree with the stuff. Well, sure enough, that was true. It was avocados. So.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
No
then last
for
week.
Colin.
And he recovered perfectly fine. Was good to go the next day. It ran its course.
Good.
Was out in New York, New York City, flew out Tuesday afternoon, and then flew back on Thursday night. I was out there for a work conference. So, the worst part about it was I flew in to really beautiful weather. It was like 70 degrees. It was gorgeous out in New York and I was like, sweet. And I've totally forgot to check the weather. Because of course the next 2 days it started to rain and drizzle and all that good stuff. And I mean, I'm inside for a conference. It wasn't that big of a deal, but getting to the conference, especially Thursday when I left, because I had the conference the full day. So I basically took my travel bags with me to the conference and the conference unfortunately didn't have a hotel associated with it. So we were like a 5 minute walk away. So I'm walking out. It is just pouring rain. Thankfully, the hotel offered up umbrellas to their people that were staying at the hotel. Needless to say, I have a new umbrella because I didn't return. I just took it with me.
Well, you know.
Yeah. I think they expect that to happen, to be honest. Yeah, they're not like the most high-end umbrellas you've ever seen. But I did bring my Steam Deck with me.
Nice.
The Steam Deck got quite a bit of play, especially on the plane flight home. We'll talk about that when we get to the game time stuff. What else? Colin went to the dentist yesterday and Friday. When I say dentist, I mean he had sedation dentistry. So if you're not familiar with that term, that's when they put you under and they actually have to book an OR room at a hospital. They then go in and they do all of the dentistry work that they need to. And this is really for special needs patients that are not able to sit and kind of follow the orders of what a dentist might give them. So, you know, like if you say, Colin, open your mouth, it ain't happening.
Right.
And the last thing in the world you would want is for him to be kind of moving around fighting you. So he went in, got, two baby teeth pulled. The baby teeth were not wanting to come out, but the new adult teeth are moving in behind it. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of like, okay, they need to go. So that was Friday. All last week, we got our pool. The gunite was done on the pool. I'm going to share a picture here, I think. Bear with. Transition this over. So yeah, so that is what the pool looks like as of right now. So if you're on the stream, you can see this. It's starting to look like an actual backyard pool. So we have a gigantic Cabo shelf. That's what you see kind of on the left side there. We're going to have two weighted, lounge chairs. So you literally will be able to kind of lounge in the pool with an umbrella overhead. And then the little deep end, really isn't deep. It's only about 5.5 feet deep. But there will be a big waterfall. That's kind of where you see on that back wall. And then we'll have two water bowls on the other side of it that'll be pouring out water. So it'll be fun. It's going to be a fun pool, perfect for the backyard. And so, yeah, we're excited to get it finished. And the rest of the backyard right now is just a giant mud pit because it has been raining for the past couple of days. So there's that. Okay, what else? What else, Kim? What else was going on? got through all of that. Am I Dead Reckoning? Well, okay, so I watched a movie last night, No Hard Feelings. I'd never heard about it. It was Jennifer Lawrence was kind of the main, one of the main characters. Funny. I was actually, I laughed quite a bit. I was pleasantly surprised. And, you know, just a fun movie. I also watched the movie Blue Beetle, unfortunately.
Oh, not good, huh?
Not good. No, no. No, really bad. I mean, not even, it was, and I get what they wanted to do with this movie, but I feel like they just took it in a weird direction. So, yeah. And then, I also watched, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. Really good. Very much liked it. The only thing I didn't like about it, if you haven't seen it yet, just be prepared. It's part one. It's going to be a two-parter.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah. And it definitely ends on a cliffhanger, which kind of sucks. But, yeah, no. Dead Reckoning. I really enjoy the Mission Impossible movies. There's been a couple of them that weren't great, but for the most part, they're all really well done. And, you know, as much grief as I might give Tom Cruise on some levels, for some of his crazy views on the world and life, he's a really fucking good actor. He just is. He is good. Short, but good.
Short. Tiny.
All right. I think that's it for story time. I think that's kind of everything.
Okay.
We do have a question, and this is why I didn't bring up this particular show.
Gotcha.
So Mr. Matthew, or Kim, why don't you read the question, please?
Alrighty, from CP Matthew, we have, now that it's out, what are your thoughts on the new Fallout series on Amazon Prime?
So have you seen this, Kim?
I have not, so I have no feelings yet, but I've heard it's really, really good, so.
Yeah, you're fired, first of all, but okay. I have watched the first 1.5 episodes. I didn't get through the second episode, not because I don't want to, just we ran out of time.
Right.
First off, it is very authentic to the Fallout games and the content of the games, and kind of, if you know the games, you are going to feel right at home with the show. And so on the one hand, I think that really does translate nicely. And for gamers that are of, you know, the Fallout series, they're going to be like, this is what we wanted Halo to be. This is how you do a game series, right? Mm-hmm. And I can't really argue with that. It is really good. I mean, they really do nail a lot of what Fallout brings to the table. Now, I still haven't seen all the rest of the episodes, so I can't say for sure, but first episode is about 1 hour and 15 minutes. I think the second episode is just about 1 hour long, which is kind of nice. I like the longer episodes. Even though ironically, I ran out of time watching this second episode. The special effects so far, great. It's just, I mean, the humor is there. The oddity of the world in that, you know, Fallout, you know, takes place in this kind of, you know, alternate universe of, you know, the world that we live in. Mm-hmm. So, and it has that weird mix of 50s. Oh, I guess it's the 50s take on what the future was going to be, right?
Right.
And that's what Fallout is. So you have some things that do just strike you odd, cause some of the tech that they have, it's not high tech at all. It's like, you know, they have like the old school TVs.
Right.
In monitors, but then they have all of these futuristic AIs and weaponry and stuff. So, I don't know. I love it. I am impressed so far. I hope it stands the test of time through the next episodes. Mm-hmm. I will ask you this, Kim. How do you feel about so Fallout, putting in perspective, they released all of the episodes. So they're all out now. You can go watch them all. Do you prefer that, or do you prefer when they pace it out week at a time?
I don't know. I think I kind of prefer when they release them all, but then I'm kind of kicking myself later after I've watched them all, and then there's nothing else to watch because, of course, they've shown them all. So, I don't know. I suppose on that knowledge, I'd probably like it better if they went weekly. So, you know, they release an episode every week, so then you could kind of stretch it out. Because I do tend to kind of binge watch things and then kick myself later because I don't have anything left to watch. So.
And it's an interesting tactic from Amazon just as a kind of follow up to that. So they have kind of a pattern, I guess, on a lot of their TV series that they, the first season of them, they release all of the episodes at once. They did this, I guess, for The Boys. And a few of their other series, I think. They didn't do it for Wheel of Time, but some of the kind of the ones I guess they're taking the big gamble on, they'll just release them all. But then the following seasons, they actually release them weekly.
Right.
I like the notion of the weekly episodes because it is, like you said, you can't just suddenly just blast through all of them and be done with it. You actually have that social commentary kind of can't wait for the next episode.
Right.
And then you talk about it. But then again, there is the benefit or the nice part of being able to just say, hey, I will watch them at my own pace as opposed to having to wait for.
But the only thing is then you got to watch out for people and spoilers and all that. And that kind of gets to be a pain because there
and are that I have that... been that I mean, everybody was talking about Fallout when it released out because a lot of people just binged through everything. And I was just constantly seeing Fallout commentary. And I would just. Brush past it, because I don't want to read any spoilers. Even though, I mean, in some respects, you kind of know. Well, you don't know the story. At the end of the day, you don't. I think the casting so far has been fantastic. CP Matthew points out, was it Walton Goggins as the ghoul?
Yep.
He's fantastic in everything I've seen him in. So, I really enjoyed his character in Justified as well. Yes. So. But yeah, Fallout is really potentially one of the all-time best video game adaptations I've seen. I think it actually might trump The Last of Us for sticking to all of it and really pulling it off well.
Right.
And it should be worth saying, bringing this game to the TV screen was not easy because of the quirkiness of the Fallout games themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it takes not only the good cinematography and direction, but also it takes excellent writing. You also have to really source the music and get that all to, so, I mean, they've done a fantastic job and it shows. Mr. Matthew, by the way, agreeing with you about the spoilers and binging. Mr. Matthew, I think we all agree Fallout is a runaway success. I'm assuming there will be a season two.
I'd be shocked if they didn't. So.
But the cool thing about the Fallout series in particular, as opposed to Halo or The Last of Us, is that they can go any direction they want with this because the Fallout universe isn't focused on particular characters per se. So you can create your own stories anywhere you want and they could be creative. They can now, you know, kind of go outside the lines of what, you know, we've seen. They could take Fallout into other countries.
Right.
And kind of explore that. I'm very excited for the future of that franchise in particular. And I'm sure Microsoft is quite happy, based on this one being such a hit, whereas Halo, its reception was pretty mixed when it first came out.
Right.
Although, I mean, come on, who doesn't really want to see Master Cheeks?
Okay. You got me.
Mr. Matthew threw out the question. I'm curious if they will show VATS on screen. So far, the music has been from Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, and Fallout 4. I thought at one point they did show the VATS system. I thought I saw one of the characters when they were the Brotherhood of Steel. Mm-hmm. When they're in the mech, I could have swore I saw him dial up the VAT system, but I might be misremembering. I'm going to have to kind of rewatch episode two from the start. Just because it was on, I was watching it pretty late at night. And so, you never know, but I want to say that's what I saw. Mm-hmm. I also do like, by the way, that in the Fallout, this TV series, they kind of, the way they've introduced some of the main characters and how they've done it, it's almost like little kind of mini episodes within the episode.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Kim, we're going to transition.
All right.
From what we've been playing. Let's talk about the free games that we kind of get for paying for.
All righty. For PS Plus for April, we have Mortals of Avium for the PS5, Minecraft Legends for the 5 and the 4, and then Skull, the Hero Slayer for the 4. Scrolling down, and oh my god, we went too far. Holy shit. Alrighty, for your Amazon Prime games for April, we have The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, Game of the Year Edition Deluxe. Must be a hell of a game there. We have Plant vs. Zombies, Battle for Neverville, Monkey Island 2 Special Edition, another Special Edition, LeChuck's Revenge, Nanotale, Typing Chronicles, Guild of Ascension, Turnip Boy, Commits Tax Evasion, bad Turnip Boy, bad, Galaxy of Pen and Paper, and we'll scroll some more here, and House of 1,000 Doors, Family Secrets. Be a lot of secrets for 1,000 doors, I'm just saying.
That's almost like a lot of buried bodies in a pasture back behind your house. Just sort of.
A little bit. And then from now till the 18th, we have Ghost Runner for the Epic Game Store. I have no idea after that. I didn't check today. Sorry.
Fair enough. So,
yep.
All right. You know, I'm going to forgo the sound effects because they're not going to work anyway, damn it.
Right. You're the only one that's going to hear it.
I know. Nobody's going to hear it. We're not even going to do the pregnant pause. We're just going to dive into it, Kim.
Okay.
What have you been playing this past week?
Not a whole heck of a lot, but I do have one here that might surprise you, and that is Halo Fiesta Slayer Customer Games. Because, well, I had both my nephews here yesterday, and Owen is getting to be like Anthony. He wants to play, too. So we couldn't play Battlefield because they can't split-screen that. Well, apparently you're supposed to be able to split-screen Halo, but they couldn't figure that out either yesterday, so they just ended up taking turns. So me, Anthony, Owen, and Boomer all played Fiesta on Halo yesterday. And we played it for, I don't know, quite a few hours. I don't know. We played it for a while, enough that I even got an achievement for throwing the grenade. I blasted the grenade back to them or something like that. And anyway, I got an achievement for it. So, I don't know. I like it. I'm not a big, gigantic Halo fan, but I do like playing Fiesta. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's your fault. But
I'll take credit for that.
My only problem is...
I mean, Halo Fiesta, for those that aren't familiar with it, and they've got Super Fiesta and Fiesta. They're two different kind of variations of the same game mode. But basically, every time you die, you respawn with a different weapon set. And I think because it's not a, I think in past Halo games, when you're playing a Slayer match where you have power weapons on the map, the rocket launcher, the sniper rifle, those game modes really require a knowledge of the map.
Right.
You need to know where those weapons appear and you have to pay attention to the timing of them. So this way you get to them before the enemy gets to them. Here, it's just a random draw. You may get a rocket launcher, you may not. And so it feels in some respects more fair.
Right.
Because you're not, you know, it's not, you're getting screwed by somebody on the map knowing the map better than you. Some people would argue that's maybe not fair. Maybe it is more fair because you know the map better. I don't know. I will say, though, when you will get into loops sometimes where you're playing against another team and you feel like all they ever get are rocket launchers and you never spawn with one the entire match. But
well, the good news was we were playing against bots, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know.
And the bots are surprisingly competent.
Yes, because we were playing with them on recruit mode and they were still kicking, well, at least my ass anyway. So, you know. But it was fun. Anytime I can get my hands on a gravity hammer, I'm happy. Because that thing, I tell you what.
Oh, yeah. Gravity hammer.
I'm just going to town with it and knocking people out left and right. So
it is a little overpowered, especially when you get into Super Fiesta mode. I mean, you don't even have to be close to the person and you're able to kill them.
Oh yeah. 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 Anthony was getting mad at that, and I had the little grapple thing where I could send it out and I could grapple close to him and, you know, kill him. And he didn't like that either. So eventually we took pity on Tony and put him on her, because for a while it was me and Boomer against Tony and a bot. Because I couldn't figure out at the time I could put Tony on our team and then just play against bots. But I eventually figured it out. So there for a little bit, poor Tony was getting his butt kicked. But he's pretty good, too. So, I mean, he was coming back and getting us pretty well, too. So now poor Owen just didn't have a clue. And, well, he was just an easy kill. So, but he's four. Aww, what do you expect?
Poor Owen.
I know. But he enjoyed it. Oh, you want to ask Boomer? He just blabbered his little ear off yesterday. I mean, he talked to Boomer while we went out to do chores. We left him in here with a headset on. He talked to Boomer the entire time it took us to do chores. So, and then he wouldn't shut up about Boomer. Yeah, I know, right? Because, oh, my Lord. So we did that, and I played some Evil West this week. As a matter of fact, I played co-op with Tony because I hadn't played co-op on Evil West yet, so I didn't know what to expect. And co-op pretty much is, it picks up who's ever running the game. Like, I was running the game that day. So it pretty much picked up wherever I was at the story, and Tony jumped in. And we both played the same. I figured one would play the one guy, and then the other would play the other guy. But maybe I haven't unlocked that yet, so that's why we both played the same dude. And okay. I think his name was, what was his name, Jim? James? It's the Rentier guy. Anyway, if you played Evil West, you know what I'm talking about. It's, well, okay, not to sound racist, but it's the white guy, because one guy's black and one guy's white. So anyway, Jesse. No, his name is Jesse. That's right. So anyway, that's how co-op works. And then eventually when Tony, like, leaves this game and goes start up his own, he has to actually go all the way back to wherever his game was started. But I get to keep the progress that we made while we played co-op, if that makes sense. So.
It does?
I don't know, co-op.
You know, okay. And I have this game downloaded. I need to fire it up. I've been meaning to fire it up. I want to play it. It looks like a lot of fun.
Right.
Yeah. I have no excuse, Kim. I have no excuse for not playing this yet, other than
it is fun. I mean, it just takes me a little bit to get used to, like, the stuff, the moves to do it, because I haven't played it enough to get them all down pat. But boy, Anthony was. He got the hero punch and whatever else the little combo moves are. He had him down like nothing flat. Not me, though. So.
Right.
Anyway, it's on Game Pass. If you like vampires, if you like cowboys and a little supernatural twist to it, which for my week this week, apparently I saw fucking ghosts. So, hey.
This but fit anyway, right in, Tim. It fit right in.
This works, right? So, yeah. Give it a shot. And one of these days, Boomer, we will get a game in on this, because I did tell Boomer to download it so we could play it sometime. We still haven't done it, so.
funny, because Boomer, she was saying before the show started, I totally do not want to play this with Boomer.
I really did. Sure. Yeah. He's not going to believe
that. All right. Anything else, Kim?
Nope, that's it for me. It was a short, kind of weird, non-game playing week, so.
I definitely know how that feels. The only thing I played, like I said, was a little Baldur's Gate on the Steam Deck.
Right.
And so that was, it was great on one hand,
right.
Because it took up hours of my flight on the way home. But, and maybe it's, I want to put this on the Steam Deck version and how it translates, cause it's also probably the console version of this game. But the inventory management in Baldur's Gate 3 feels very unsatisfying to me.
Right.
It's needlessly complicated. It doesn't feel like it's straightforward to just, like, here's, you know, there's multiple ways you can go about looking at your inventory. I guess that's the better way to put it. So you can kind of look at your items, and then your items will show not only all of the little things you picked up, like ore and, you know, different vegetation that you're going to then use to create potions. But it also shows you your armor. It shows you your weapons that you've picked up. But and you can equip from there, but you can't see it on your character until you go to – you have to back out of that screen and go to the character status screen, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those screens. But then – and there you can go to where your – equipment is, and then when you go to the equipment, you can't see any of your items, but you can only see what is physically on your character or the weapon that they've equipped.
Sounds very convoluted.
It's on screen right now. it's clunky. It's not great. And on the Steam Deck, it felt even more clunky. Now, granted, that just because I haven't played this game on the Steam Deck for a while. So kind of getting used to, again, the interface of it all. But boy, oh boy, I, for like 20 minutes, I'm just like, how the fuck do I find this and put it on? And how do I compare easily enough? That's the other thing. Right. When you find stuff, how do you compare it? There's only one screen that will let you do the comparisons. And you can't see if the armor is going to look any different in that screen. So then you have to go to needlessly complicated. I'm just going to leave it at that.
This is what it sounds like The Witcher 3 used to be before they went in and kind of fixed it. So
yeah. But that being said, I enjoyed my playthrough, enjoying, Baldur's Gate 3. I will say I came across a particular puzzle that, was a bit confusing in terms of how to get through it at first. And I think I just kind of blindly stumbled into the solutions and got through it. Mm-hmm. I never really understood fully how I got through it.
Sometimes that's the best.
Yeah, oh yeah. Pretty sure within some of the books that I saw, that I had picked up and didn't bother actually reading, there probably was the answer to the solution there. I did stumble within this, stumbling upon things and figuring my way through this one particular dungeon. There was this final trap that I was trying to open up this sarcophagus, and there was a button on the wall, and I'm like, I'm hitting the button. Nothing's happening. I'm like, why can't I open this sarcophagus? And so then I did, I did the online search. By the way, shout out to JetBlue. They actually have free Wi-Fi on the plane, that so you're connected to the internet. So I was actually able to do a Google search and do this while I'm playing the game. So it turns out there was this giant trap that I kind of figured was there because I saw all the traps, but they weren't activating. So I'm like, did I deactivate all the traps already? Oh no. It was once I actually figured out the way to open the sarcophagus, all of these fireball traps shot off all at the same time. And that stupid button on the wall that kept pushing for the longest time, trying to figure out what the hell it did, that turned off all of the fireballs.
Aha.
So I was able to finally get through that trap after dying and reloading a good 4 times at least. And finally figured out that, okay, the way to beat this is I have to put myself into turn-based mode, had to put one of my characters right on the button, and then one of my characters then open the sarcophagus. Once you open the sarcophagus, all the fireballs start shooting off. And before they killed the other character, he hit the button, and basically 3/4 of my party was down on the ground dying, and the one character was still alive. He was able to go revive everybody, and happy days.
Yay!
So, yeah. Baldur's Gate 3. It's still good. Yeah. I think I like Dragon's Dogma 2 better.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. So. And I hate to say that because I love my turn-based games, but I don't find so far the pace of Baldur's Gate 3 is a bit plodding to me. Right. Now, I had the same problem with Divinity Original Sin 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And I feel like that we have that same kind of direction with this game. So that doesn't excite me.
Right.
But
I'm kind of with you on that one.
It's still pretty good. Still pretty darn good. Okay. What are we doing, Kim? What are we doing?
We're
no longer talking about what we've been playing.
News, I guess.
We can do a quiz.
Oh, well, I didn't know we were going to do that today or not, since it's just me.
Yeah,
so.
You know what? I'm going to run you through your paces, Kim, because you know why? I can.
Okay.
That's the power that I have. So, Kim.
Alrighty.
Imagine, if you will.
Okay.
You are going back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Back just 5 short years, Kim.
Hmm.
To the year 2019.
Okie dokie.
So, Kim, we have 3 games that we're going to walk through here. You have to guess the Metacritic score. For those of you who don't know, we're playing Metacritic Magnus right now. Yes, I've absolutely stolen this from another podcast. I don't care. You have to guess closest, higher, lower, doesn't matter.
All right.
Now you will be by default the winner for this week, but it's the total cumulative score of all of the weeks that really matters.
Right.
So you could hurt yourself or you can help yourself this week. We shall see. All right. The first game we're talking about on the PS4, Kim.
All righty.
We're talking about Sekiro Shadows Die Twice on the PS4. Kim, what do you think its Metacritic score was? 2019.
90?
Kim, how do you feel about 90? Do you feel that's going to be higher, lower? What are you thinking?
Probably going to be lower, but I don't know. I remember when that came out, though. It seemed like everybody seemed to, you know, enjoy it pretty well. I don't remember anybody bashing it too terribly bad, but, I mean, that was 5 years ago, and I can barely remember what I did yesterday, so.
Yeah, fair enough. Kim, if I told you your guess was wildly wrong, I'd be lying to you.
Oh.
No, 91. So 1 point off. Kim, well done. Yes, well done. 91.
Scared me for a minute.
Yeah, it was very well received. Okay. Going on to the next game, Kim.
All right.
This is on PC.
Mm-hmm.
Hunt Showdown debuted. Now it was early access, I believe, at first, but it did come out with a Metacritic score for 2019, so that's what counts. Mm-hmm. So Kim, what did Hunt Showdown get for PC? Now, if you're Mark Wright, you would know this probably in your veins.
Right? 85.
85. All right. Now, if I were to again tell you that your score was wildly off, would you believe that or would you think it's more spot on?
I don't know. I think it may be a little higher than that, perhaps. Because I don't really think it'd be lower than that, but I guess it could be. So.
Well, it actually was lower than that. 81.
Oh,
Hunt
all right.
Showdown got an 81 on Metacritic. So it's still well done so far, Kim. Well done. And last but certainly not least. The Outer Worlds for Xbox One.
Oh. Well, if I remember right, I think that one did relatively good. 86.
86. Now, Kim, if I was again to tell you, you're just really off. Do you think you're really off, or do you think you're just pretty much spot on?
I think I'm pretty close. Watch, I'll be really off.
No, you know, actually very close. Once again, 86, you said? Uh-huh. It got an 85.
Well, I'll be darned. Look at that. That was actually my first guess, but I thought I'd, you know, scooch it up just a little. So.
Mr. Matthew coming in with 82, he would have also been very close. But no, Kim, you nailed – that was – I mean, about as good as you could possibly get for these three games. Well done. A total difference of about 6 points. That's gonna help you in the long run.
Yeah, because I think last time I kind of gigged one really wrong, and that took me out a little bit. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
It happens. Trust me.
All right, well, that's it for Metacritic
Madness. So. Let's dive into some news.
Okie dokie.
Okay. Kim, you ever heard of the BAFTAs?
I have.
Honestly, I really forget they exist.
Well, you know, I don't think
it's shameful, but I do. It's not the Oscars.
They don't quite get the fanfare that some of the other game awards get. I mean,
it's
you
not
know,
the
like,
video game awards. It's
we don't have Jeff Keighley beating us over the head with them, so maybe that's why we don't.
Also true. And honestly, it's not the DICE Awards. Now, the BAFTA is more than just video games, mind you.
Right.
But they do a game awards every year. So they did the BAFTA Awards just recently. And I have the full list of everything that won and what it won. So best debut game was Venba. Never heard of it, for the record.
I think it's on Game Pass.
Okay. Fantastic. Best debut game was Venba. Audio achievement, Alan Wake 2. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I questioned this a little bit, but best multiplayer, Super Mario Brothers Wonder. Really?
Yes. Not for me, but all right.
best evolving game was Cyberpunk 2077. I could buy into that.
Yeah.
It has evolved over time.
Yeah, it's funny seeing this now, considering when it came out and everything, everybody like, you know, trashed it, and now look at it, so.
True. Very true. Best game design, Dave the Diver. I've heard of this. I think it's on PSN right now, or PSN Plus.
I believe so. I know I bought it for Mark on Steam, but other than that, I didn't really see where there was a whole lot of interesting design to it, but all right, what do I know?
Now, this next award says a lot about the country that it's representing. Best British game, Viewfinder.
Is that the thing you wear on your face? But
that's what I'm saying. That's just, you know, was that the Viewfinder? That's your best game? Come on, Britain. Come on. Artistic achievement went to Alan Wake 2. Best new intellectual property is a Viewfinder. Honestly, not a new intellectual property. We had Viewfinders back when I was like 8 years old.
Great.
Yeah. Best narrative was Baldur's Gate 3. They gave a special award for special effect. I don't know. Go figure. Performer in
was
a supporting role.
Or something else?
That might be. That might be.
Okay.
That might be right. Special effect. Well done, Kim. That actually is a charity for special needs. So yes, they got a special award for being special. Best performer in a supporting role was Andrew Wincott in Baldur's Gate 3. I believe he plays the thief with the white hair.
Oh.
So yeah, I could totally see that. Well done. Best family game was Super Mario Brothers Wonder. Okay, that makes more sense to me.
I get
not so
that.
Much multiplayer. EE player choice. I don't EE. I don't know what that means. Either way, Baldur's Gate 3. Player Choice Award. Best Animation, Hi-Fi Rush.
Nice.
Best Music, Baldur's Gate 3. Okay, I guess. I really don't pay attention to the music in that game, so. Game Beyond Entertainment, Tichia. Okay, I don't know. I don't know what it does beyond it being entertaining. Technical Achievement went to The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Performer in a lead role was Najee Jeter from Marvel's Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
And then best game, drum roll, Baldur's Gate 3.
Nice.
So there we go. It's a couple weird ones in there, but, you know, again, Viewfinder being best in Britain. Come on.
Right.
I had a Viewfinder as a child. I loved it for all of like a month.
Right.
Immortals Avium Studio has reportedly furloughed the majority of its staff. This is pretty disappointing to hear.
Right.
So Ascendant Studios has furloughed the majority of their staff, said Mornis, who left the studio last summer to join Phoenix Labs, said, I can't imagine what that would be like, as that is worse than getting laid off. So furlough basically is an imposed leave of absence from work, which is typically unpaid. While employees technically keep their jobs and are expected to return to work at some point, it means they don't qualify for things like severance pay. Carpenter said this lines up with what they I've heard at Immortals of Avium developer Senate Studios, that a large portion of the staff was recently furloughed. They haven't been able to confirm the number. And Ascendant hasn't responded to multiple requests for comment. Total bummer. This game came out, I want to say in August last year, maybe it was July. And it just came out to a wet thud. Nobody was excited for it. And I think mostly because, you had, Baldur's Gate 3 that was coming out. Yep. And then you also had Starfield coming out, and it just, it fell into the buzzsaw, those two games. And unfortunately, because of that, and not hitting any kind of sales, it tanked. You know,
that's probably why it's on PS Plus this month. So
yeah, I fully expect it'll come to Game Pass at some point too. They're going to try and get whatever they can from, you know, subscription services now. Thinking of a game that has not bombed, and likely will not bomb, but who knows? Cause we'll talk about this a little bit in more depth. Star Wars Outlaws. Mm-hmm. They got a new story trailer. It also got I don't want to do that. I want to transition us to the news. I meant to do that earlier. They have gone live with their pre-orders, Kim.
Mm.
So there's three editions. There's the standard base game. And these all three will be coming out, by the way, August 30th of this year. So kind of excited for this. So the Star Wars Gold Edition includes the base game, a season pass, including two narrative expansions, an exclusive Jabba's Gambit mission available at launch, and a character cosmetic pack.
Boy.
Also, you will get up to 3 whole days of early access to the game. That's Woo-hoo! For the Gold Edition. Now, you want to take your game to the next level. You want to get the Ultimate Edition, Kim.
Okay.
Because this game, the Ultimate Edition, includes your base game, the season pass, including 2 narrative expansions, an exclusive Jabba's Gambit mission available at launch, and a character cosmetic pack. Also, Sabacc Shark Bundle. You also get the Rogue Infiltrator Bundle.
Boy.
A digital art book.
Ooh.
And again, up to 3 massively long days of early access to the
Yeehaw.
Game. Now, here's where the rub gets a little bit harsh.
Rubby?
Yeah, it gets a little rubby. That's good. The rub is rubby. The base game will debut at $69.99 US. So $70 game.
Mm-hmm.
Not shocking there.
No.
We kind of come to expect the $70 game these days. The Gold Edition, however, will set you back $109.99.
Wow.
So $110. Let's call it what it is.
Right.
That's a season pass of 2 narrative expansions and Jabba's Gambit's mission.
Ooh,
and
boy.
3 early days of access. Now, the Ultimate Edition, which we walked through all of that. Now, you do get a digital art book, so not even a physical book.
Right.
There's nothing physical about any of this.
Yeah, there's no collectible of any kind.
No collectible at all. Ultimate Edition, $129.99 US.
Jeebity
Christ. So $130 for that Ultimate Premium, and there's just the you can't even put anything on your – there's not even a steel book.
Right, nothing. Right. No. It's getting nutty, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. I feel like EA is a bit over the skis on this. And
right.
I mean, I guess the benefit to this, to I don't want to say to be fair, but the benefit of what they've done here is should those Ultimate Editions and the Gold Editions fall flat on their face and nobody's buying them, they're just buying the base game.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really out anything.
Right.
Yeah, you know, this is all content. They're still going to be releasing. You'll still be able to buy it eventually. So
yeah,
I hate it though. I hate.
Well, yeah, because I'm sitting there looking at this for $130, and you don't have, like you said, you don't have anything you can put on your shelf for show off. And I spent $200 when Witcher 3 came out, and I got the big Witcher fighting the Griffin statue and a bunch of other stuff that came along with it for $200. On top of the game. So yeah, it's a little it's definitely disappointing. So,
right,
and the whole 3 days of early access, well, if you're me, you're lucky if you're going to get on them 3 days of early access to do anything.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if it was 5, I'd totally be on board, but it's only 3. I did buy early access for the Starfield game.
I did for Diablo, but it didn't do me any good.
Well, and the tale of two things. So I got the early access for Diablo 2. Thanks, Mark. Because he bought the premium edition with me and then we had to buy it again because he freaked out for all of an hour. But then for Starfield, what was nice was with Game Pass, it was, you could buy kind of the early access version of it for like $30.
Right.
And it would bump you up. And so I did that, but $130 for an all digital game just feels dirty.
Yes, not a fan. Does.
Mm-mm. And Mr. Matthew also was suckered by Starfield. And as far as how fast we stopped talking about Starfield, I think it took about a month. That's a single player game's life cycle though. You know, multiplayer games, they do have that longer tail, typically. But even still, unless you've got to be the few that are capturing the zeitgeist for that year. Call of Duty seems to be able to do it year in and year out. Halo is
and it doesn't change.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's just
Battlefield to a degree too, but then who else are you talking about multiplayer wise?
Right.
You know, or Helldivers I 2, I suppose, right now is kind of having that success, but even that, I feel like I don't hear people talking about it nearly as much anymore.
Right.
So.
It ebbs and it flows.
Yep. Agreed. Okay. A couple other headlines, and these are just headlines. We could talk about them. This first one in particular. Former Blizzard boss suggests players should be able to tip devs after finishing a game. So this is an interesting idea. He was kind of saying, you know, sometimes when I get done playing a game, especially if it was offered up on one of these subscription services, I wouldn't mind being able to tip the dev. And on the surface, I get what he's trying to say.
Right.
But then I kind of go to the notion of who's that tip going to?
Right. Right.
You know, it's not going to the devs that are making the game. It really isn't going to go to them. It's going to go line the pockets of whatever company made that game.
Yep.
You know, it's not like being able to tip your barista a buck or two for making your coffee.
Right.
So I get the net. I get the notion of it.
Right.
I think for indie games, maybe this could make some sense.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, I'm kind of like, well, you know, price your game out accordingly. You're going to get the sales and you'll prosper from that point on. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole of then having some expectations of tipping on video games. It's just kind of silly.
Right.
So, I don't go to a movie theater and walk out of the movie theater thinking, God, that was really good. I wish I could give the studio $10 more.
Yeah.
No to that.
So
on the heels of the success of the Fallout TV show, we did get an update on the Fallout 4 current gen upgrade. It's coming this month.
Oh, so good. Fallout somebody 4 told me I should play Fallout 4. So this will work.
Yeah. It's going to get a nice 4K upgrade and, I'm not sure. I think it goes 60 frame, upgrade as well as 4K. They're going to probably do some other, there'll be other patches within it, but, I kind of want to go back to Fallout 4. I'm not going to lie, because of the TV show. So it does have me thinking about that. And then unfortunately, if you were hoping on the success of Dead Space, the remake, that we might be getting a Dead Space 2 remake, you're not gonna likely get that because unfortunately, reportedly that project has been shelved because of the lackluster sales for the first game.
Oh, ouch.
So the Dead Space remake was highly, like, critically acclaimed. Everybody loved it. Supposedly, nobody bought it. Yeah.
You'll have that.
I'm not going to lie. It's on Game Pass, so I didn't buy it.
Right?
I have it. Yeah.
I don't blame you.
They got some money from Game Pass, so there's at least that. But again, it came to Game Pass likely because it was not selling on the surface.
Right.
Okay. That's it for the news. All right, let's transition to some new releases. I was just reading some of the comments, Mr. Matthew, talking about people still talking about Skyrim all these years later. I don't think they're talking about it nearly as much as they used to. And I think maybe the only Skyrim conversations I'm hearing about are when we're talking about what Starfield didn't do or Dragon's Dogma. You know, well, Dragon's Dogma 2, people are like, well, it's kind of like a cross between Skyrim and, you know, Souls games. So, anyway. All right, let's move on, Kim. Let's talk about new releases.
All righty. Your new releases for April 14th through the 21st are Outer Terror for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, April 12th. Dave the Diver for PS4 and PS5, April 16th. As a matter of fact, like I said, it's on then. PS Plus or whatever now. So there you go. Grounded for the PS5, PS4, and Switch on the 16th. Harold Halibut. Yep. I don't know about a fish or what. But anyway, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PC on the 16th. And it's also going to be on Game Pass. So I do know that much because I've seen it on there. So
I do like that you wondered if it was about a fish.
Well, halibut. Just, you know.
I'm going to say it's about a fish.
We'll see. Alrighty, Planet of Lana for the PS5, PS4, and Switch, April 16th. Rose and Camilla Collection Whatever that is. But it's for the Switch on April 16th.
I think it's going to be about Rose and Camilla, for the record.
Whoever they are. I'm happy for them, really. Reigns Beyond, all over the Switch and PC, April 17th. Final Fantasy 16, The Rising Tide, PlayStation 5, April 18th. I'm sure there's people that are excited for those things. I'm just not one of them. But this one surprises me because I was expecting it to come out to consoles already too, but I guess not. No Rest for the Wicked on PC, April 18th. So if it works with the Steam Deck, I may buy it for that.
Okay.
Yeah. I know there's some that are looking forward to that one, so.
Total side note, the Final Fantasy 16 comment was worthy. I appreciate what you're saying because I'm right there with you. But apparently Final Fantasy 7, the episode 3, if you're waiting for that, you've got about 3 years. Supposedly they're going to try and get that out within the next 3 years. That's the desire. I don't care.
Right?
I just have never cared about Final Fantasy.
No, me neither. And I know I've got friends that absolutely love those, but I don't know. I don't know. They seem strange to me. I guess I'm just not the demographic or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm curious. Anybody in the chat, if you like Final Fantasy games, please make a comment. I have a feeling it's just not a game our community typically likes.
Right.
And it's probably because of the giant swords, ridiculous voice acting, overly crazy.
The hair.
Dramatic. The hair.
Yeah.
The nonsense. And then, right. You know, the random goofy character that is with it's Japanese RPGs. Mm-hmm. I just can't do them.
I can't either.
Again, and this is what I think amazes me about Dragon's Dogma 2, because it breaks all of those narratives. It's a mm-hmm. Japanese RPG that's not a Japanese RPG.
It's more Western, I guess you'd say.
100%. It is Western for the most part, and I am so grateful for that. Okay. You know, Kim, we're about that mm-hmm. time where we're going to start wrapping things up. So let's talk Indeed. About Wednesdays, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
You could right. be playing Halo.
I might. Yeah. We play some Fiesta. I'm all for it. So.
Oh, there's always one. Christopher Matthew. I was a big fan of Final Fantasy 7, 8, blah, 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 blah. Mr. Matthew, come on. Really?
But he said he hasn't played one since. So.
I know. There I know. And because he's wised up, he's grown, he's
tired of the funky hair and the big swords.
Yeah. Funky hair, big swords. That should be your first no when you see that on right. it, especially like a game.
When you
cover.
Got a guy carrying a sword that's like 10 miles too long and you know, he's packing it on his back and dragging it along the ground, it's like, that can't be, you know, right. But whatever.
All right. Halo, Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
Hopefully I will be able to play this week. I was, of course, out of the way in New York. But I think my schedule is actually going to be clear for Wednesday. So, I'll be looking forward to that. Also Fridays, Mark Wright, when he is not crying about his teeth or right. about motors that are difficult to work on and how he doesn't want to ever work on electric cars because they're a pain in the ass. He'll be playing video games, Fatal Fridays.
Right.
So track him down. You can go to the Discord because that's the future, Kim. Discord is the future.
That's what they supposedly. Say, but I think it's died out again. So
damn it.
I know.
It's just like everything. It ebbs and flows. I think my favorite thing is I was having a conversation. I forgot where I was having a conversation. It was actually, I think, with my my brother-in-law, and he was talking about Facebook and how they weren't on Facebook and how the kids were on Facebook. And I just started laughing. And I'm like, all the kids hate Facebook. Like,
right.
The kids think Facebook is for old people. And yet here you're saying the kids are on Facebook.
Right.
Anyway, Kim,
mm-hmm.
you can always try and email the show. That really relies on us also checking our emails.
This is true.
But we do have a podcast email, ocpodcast@gmail.com. That for sure will get to us.
Right.
We used to have this ocpod@ocpod.com email address. Don't trust that anymore, so no. ocpodcast@gmail.com. That for sure will get to us. And we'll rely on some racing simulator dude to make sure the email is working. Right. You can also tweet us, and I did say tweet us, @oc_podcast. Because that's how it is on Twitter, not X, Twitter. Yeah, I said it again.
That's right.
Facebook, mm-hmm. fb.ocpod.com. And there you will actually talk to a live person as in Kim reacting to your comments.
Exactly.
And of course, you can always just catch us on the audio version. We put it up on the Podbean site, so you download it to your favorite service. You can find us, I think, on Spotify. We're on iTunes. We're kind of almost everywhere you possibly could want to listen to us.
Right.
Almost. There's always an exception. All right. Speed round. Let's go, Kim.
Alrighty, I'm going to shout out the shatters. We've had Boomer, CP Matthew, Lord popped in there, James Bevan. I better check my list so I don't forget anyone. You know, I know how that feels to be left out. I think that's it, though, but let me look. Yeah, James Bevan, CP Matthew, Boomer, and Lord. So thank you guys for stopping in and keeping the chat going. It's always nice when somebody's in there talking to me, even if they're giving me a load of shtick about whatever. I don't care. So anyway, thanks as always. Let me on here and ramble about my stuff, because sometimes it's a little off the ball. I get it. But it's nice, because like I said, this week was fine up until Thursday, and it was just awful. So, you know, it's nice to come on here, blow some steam off, and realize that, you know, it's not all bad. So it's hopefully everybody has a good week this week. Right. Exactly. And I'm too cheap or poor to pay for actual therapy, so this helps. I don't know if it helps you, but it helps me.
No, hey, we are the cheaper version. You know, you hear about all those online therapist sessions now that you can buy and talk to a therapist online discreetly, anonymously. You can just come onto the podcast.
Right.
Get in the chat.
We are the cheaper, generic version of BetterHelp. So there you
absolutely
go.
Absolutely. And 100% likely will not really help you, but you'll feel good in the moment.
You'll feel better after. So that's all that really matters, right? So anyway, I hope everybody has a good week. God knows I hope this week for me goes better, because I swear to God, if I have another animal die this week, I don't even know. So anyway, enough for me. Over to Greg.
Kim, you're tempting fate.
Never say. Knock on wood.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Kim, shout out to you. Thank you for joining me this Sunday. Yeah. I'm glad I can be here to be your online therapist of the moment. Right. Shout out to the chat, because yes, we absolutely love our community. We don't do this for the money, people. We don't do this for the money. This is all about just having some fun on a Sunday afternoon, catching up with friends, chatting away, talking some video games, talking about everything. So that's the gist of it. Shout out to New York. You spared me this trip. I did not see one rat while I was in New York. And trust me, my boss, who is the same boss that last time I was in New York, tried to get me to see a rat, and we finally saw one, like, on the last night I was there. This time he took me to all of those same places, and he's like, we've got to see at least one more rat. Didn't see a one. So the rat problem in New York, I think, has finally been somewhat fixed. I think that's it. I think, shout out Avocado Pie. I loved you while you were good, and never again. Sadly, Avocado Pie has seen its last iteration in my household.
At least for Colin, anyway, you know.
Yeah. Well, for sure for Colin. Oh, my God. So much poop everywhere.
Poor fella.
Anyway, yeah. All right.
No fun.
That's it. I'm going to play some outro music now that nobody is going to hear. You're welcome. And we'll just close the show out once it's done. But thanks, everybody. Come back next week. We'll be back.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.